Czech architect Jan Kaplicki's buildings have been described as some of the most remarkable that Britain has ever seen, and by a disgruntled Prince Charles as amongst the worst examples of the surrealist picnic that is modern architecture. When Kaplicki died at the beginning of 2009, British architecture lost one of its most creative and most provocative figures. Longtime friend and head of London's Design Museum, Dejan Sudic, has curated an exhibition called Remembering Jan Kaplicki, Architect of the Future, which runs until November the 1st in Kaplicki's honour. On a recent visit to London, I asked him to talk me through the exhibit.
Very sadly, Jan Kaplicki died in January of this year, and I'd known him for a long time, in fact. He was a friend, and I was one of his first clients. So for both personal and museum reasons, I thought that it was important to have some sort of memory, some sort of very quick tribute to Jan's extraordinary output. So what I've tried to do here is assemble a snapshot of the work that he's built over the years, or planned or conceived, and just assemble as they were in his studio, where there was always a long white table full of extraordinary bits and pieces, and we've tried to do that. So it's really a very low-key, uncurated exhibition, except there are a few twists. And for example, we've aligned this extraordinary phallic model of a skyscraper that he did in 1990, dead on the Swiss Ray, the so-called erotic gherkin, which is one of the new elements of London's skyline. And it's a little memory that Jan was an influence on many architects.
You said you were an early client of Jan Kaplicki. Can I ask about what you commissioned from him?
As a young and impecunious architecture critic, I thought it was important to put my money where my mouth was. So at that time, I bought a flat in Maida Vale, and this very humble, stucco-fronted terraced house, of which I had one floor, looked very normal on the outside, but Jan turned the inside into a spaceship.
In the foreword to this exhibition here, you say that Jan Kaplicki was very influenced by both of his parents and their professions, which you can see in his work. His mother was a botanical illustrator. Can you explain that a little bit more, or sort of provide me with some concrete examples of that?
I think that what I always saw in Jan's work early on, when he was working in other people's offices, was this astonishingly precise delineation of lines. He was a fantastic draftsman, doing things of great precision, and I'm sure that, in retrospect, could be something that he learned from his mother, who, of course, made these exquisite drawings of plants, and I saw something of that. And then, of course, through his career, there was a change. The earlier work was very technologically influenced. He was obsessed by space, by high technology, by Czech achievements, actually. Also, he was always fascinated by Škoda, the cars that they made, the Tatra, by Czech aircraft, by the fortifications built by the Czechs in the 30s. And that was an influence. But then later in his career, he started to become much more interested in the forms of the body, of a sensuous form, and I think that might be something to do with his father's work as a sculptor.
In front of us, there are lots of models for things that were never built, and there are, I think, some things that he designed never with the intention of being built. Is it fair to say that a lot of the things that Jan Kaplicki designed were purely in the realm of fantasy and just pure fantasy?
I wouldn't use the word fantasy about Jan's work. He loved to speculate, he loved to dream. These aren't fantasies, they are the world as Jan would like it to have been.
What was Future Systems doing in the very early days?
To be an architect, you don't necessarily have to build things. If you think about the past, Piranesi made these astonishing, fantastic drawings of Roman ruins. He was evoking an atmosphere, a mood, and he was shaping directions. And I think Jan's work in the early days was very much about that. He was speculating about what buildings could be like if they weren't so horribly pedestrian and earthbound, and he was dreaming. And I suppose the most astonishing, miraculous thing was that from those beginnings, Future Systems became something which did build, which made a department store in Birmingham, which made sports buildings at the Lord's Cricket Ground, which made houses and apartments. And that was a fantastic shift, and something to do with Jan's partnership with Amanda Levitt, who he was married to. Sadly, they were divorced, and they became partners in a business which did start to build, and that was an astonishing shift.
Would you say there's a very big difference between the way that British people perceive Jan Kaplicki's work and Czech people perceive Jan Kaplicki's work?
I went to Prague for Jan's funeral, and it was the most astonishing, overwhelming event. I hadn't realized, even though I knew Jan well, that he was a sort of national hero. It was like a state funeral. There was the letter from Václav Havel. There was this astonishing Gothic chapel in which it took place, and thousands of people. And I suppose that made me reflect about Jan's life. And I suppose in some ways he was embraced by the Czechs, maybe because his career reflected a fractured country. He was born before the German invasion. He was a victim of the 68 invasion by the Russians. He came to London then. He went back and he made a new career. And so maybe there was a sense of healing in his person about modern Czechoslovakia. And I think that's something that Britain didn't really get the point of. But I do remember one of the first things I did with Jan was, when I was a journalist, we asked him to select a tool from an exhibition of tools at the Victoria and Albert Museum, and he picked up a Bren gun, which of course is an example of Czech-British collaboration, the Brno Enfield gun, which was pretty handy for killing fascists.
But in recent years, Jan Kaplitsky maybe has been most synonymous in the Czech Republic with the National Library building, which seems like it is probably not going to be built due to strong political opposition. Do you think that the fascination with that overshadows more interesting things?
I think that Jan's last years were in some ways the most happy and the fulfilled he'd had, and he loved the kind of politics of the library saga. And the Czechs love to argue.
You said in his obituary, which you wrote for The Guardian, that his work did not necessarily betray the gloomy pessimism, was your quote, of the Czech national identity. Can you qualify that statement, please?
Well, my great aunt ran off with a Czech from Montenegro, so I think I have some insights into the Czech personality. And they sure do radiate gloom.
I know that this is an exhibition of key works. Are they key works in your eyes, key works in Jan Kaplitsky's eyes, or how did you go about putting this all together?
Well, there were some things that I felt that could not be missed. So there are only a few of his montages, but they are beautiful ones, and I loved those, the way that he could actually imagine a building which could pick up and disappear and go somewhere else in any landscape. So there's some of those. There is, as I've mentioned, the green bird, which is Jan's astonishingly phallic idea for a high-rise tower, which does prefigure Norman Foster's erotic gherkin, which has now transformed the London skyline, designed 20 years later, 15 years later. There's some of his projects which look at the imagery of transport, of space travel turned into ideas for things which you could live in or might not live in. But then there's also projects which were realized. There is work on the Selfridges project, on some of his houses. There are an amazing couple of schemes for collaborations with Anish Kapoor, the sculptor. They worked on a project for London South Bank, which would have been an amazing part sculpture, part building. So we try to cover all the bases.
That was Dejan Sudic, head of the British Design Museum, talking to Rosie Johnson.